Christian through the grace of God.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. Good morning, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We are thankful that you have chosen to tune in today. And, you know, we're striving to give you some practical tips of how to get through some of the most difficult times in life. And if you don't think that God knows how to get you through your situation, have I got good news for you? He not only knows how to do it, he has got a track record of having done it. And I pray that during this time that you will be learning and implementing some of the steps that others have taken that helped them get through times of persecution. One of the things that we can see in Matthew chapter 5, let me take you back there, verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So one of the things has to do with our attitude. It doesn't talk about doing a whole lot of complaining and murmuring and groaning. Those are all things that are looked upon in a negative sense. And when I did a study on those topics here not too long ago, I'll be honest with you, it was convicting. I got convicted studying for a sermon to preach. That's not unusual. That happens to me a lot. God's got to deal with me before he deals with the congregation. And so he works things out in my life. And one of the things that was being frowned upon in this particular study was complaining. And then they had the audacity to mention these qualifying statements. Okay. Are you ready for this? Even if muttering under your breath so that no one else can hear. That was frowned upon. I don't know about you, but it has always been kind of a safe place where you could go and you could shut yourself in a room and you could say blah 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 blah, and you just pop off like a pressure cooker and let off all of the steam. Well, God says, you know, I know what's going on even in the secret place. And so part of this persecution has to do with the attitude that we have, where we are going to rejoice because we know that our God is bigger than the persecutor and our deliverer is greater than the greatest problem that may come our way. And so we've been talking about trusting in the Lord. We have been talking about God leading and guiding. We've been talking about committing our spirit into his hands. And today I want to pick up reading Psalm 31, verse number 6. It says, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. So as I was preparing for this chapter here, Psalm 31, I noticed that there were some breaks in the topic manner. Verses 1 through 8 tended to flow pretty well together. 9 through 13 was another segment. 14 through 18, 19 through 22, and then verses 23 through 24. So those are, if I were to make an outline, that would be the outline that I would talk about. And this first part is a conversation between David and the Lord. And the thing that I wanted to tell you about was that he said, "For you, God, have considered my trouble." How many times have you had the enemy lie into your ear and say, "You're in this all by yourself. You are all alone." Do you realize that God specifically calls for that he is going to watch over the widow and the orphans? I would kind of liken that to single moms and their kids, to the most vulnerable in society. God says, "I want you to know when you feel you're most vulnerable that I am on the throne." God pays attention. He pays attention to you when you are going through an economic crisis. He pays attention to you when you are going through a physical affliction. You have considered. Now, I want you to consider what is being said here about God's considering. I said that way on purpose. When you consider something, that is not a fleeting thought that flies through your mind. That is a deliberate and intentional act where you are weighing out the situation to determine the remedy to the problem and the outcome that it's going to result in. God is not ignoring your problem. And so through the years, I've had to take a stand every once in a while about things that have gone on in my life where people had some things to say about it that didn't line up with the Word of God. And so I would take a stand on the promise. And even though I did that, there would be times where the situation didn't change rapidly. It didn't change suddenly. I was dealing with a person one time, and they were wondering what was up with God's timing. How come it was taking so long? You see, they wanted something, and they wanted it right then. Do you realize that we are not the most patient society around? I'm the type of guy that when I'm heating something up in the microwave, I'm waiting there and say, "Can you please hurry this up a little bit? I got places to go, people to see, things to do. I can't be waiting around here for all of these seconds." Not always remembering that at one point in time, yes, we did not always have a microwave. Sometimes if we were going to heat up our dinner from leftovers, it was break out the pot and put it on the stove and figure out a way to get it to go. God considers your trouble. God considers your trouble. By the way, that person that I was talking about, the reason that God had not answered was because that their solution was not ready yet. The need that they were so longing to have fulfilled, God was still working in that situation to prepare them for what was to come. It was a glorious God-filled solution, but it was impossible for the answer to be ready when that person was wanting it to be ready. It was not feasible. You say, "Well, God can do anything." Yes, he can. And sometimes the thing that he does is he causes us to wait. But please understand, whatever you are going through, God's on it. God's on it. And he's not sitting there twiddling his thumbs saying, "I wonder how I could possibly ever come up with a solution to a problem so monstrous." He's saying, you know, David writes, "For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities." And I did a little bit of looking up what that meant. I'm looking at my notes here, and that's for Psalm 143. But can I just give you the abbreviated version today? He has considered your vitality. You have known my vitality even in adversity. We don't like opposition. We don't like problems, but I can tell you this, it's about the only way we grow stronger is whenever the problems of life begin to create boundaries for us that creates more focus in our life and causes us to press into the Word of God and know God more than we've ever known Him before. Please do not let your adversity drive you away from God. Allow your adversity to drive you into the presence of God. You have not shut me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Okay? Verses 9 through 13. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of iniquity. And so remember, persecution is only persecution when it is done for righteousness' sake. Persecution is not getting into trouble for doing something stupid. I'll say this again. Persecution is only persecution when it is coming because of righteousness. Persecution is not getting into trouble for doing something stupid. So what David was talking about was he cried out for mercy. If you want to add a couple of steps to our list that we're talking about, then you've got to you add these two steps. You realize that God is in control of the circumstance. That's what we were talking about in verses 7 and 8 there. In verse number 9 is you cry out for mercy. You cry out for mercy. Remember that there are things that you have done that you never got in trouble for, and you cry out to God for mercy. David was not a perfect man. He did not always deal in integrity, like when he was dealing with the Philistine king and pretended to be mad when he was perfectly sane. He wasn't a really great father. He wasn't a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination. I've never met a perfect father. I'm not a perfect father. Never met one. The only perfect father that I know of is the Heavenly Father. And so David cries out and he says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Remember, he's already said, you have considered my trouble. And he says, I want you to know that it is impairing my vision. My eye wastes away with grief. The persecution that you face, you cannot allow the persecution to hinder the vision that God has given for you in your life. I'm going to say that one more time. You cannot allow the persecution to hinder the vision that God has given you for your life. Stay true to the mission. Stay true to the vision. God has got this. He says, yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. Listen, the two times that I hear people sighing are when they are exhausted and when they're afflicted. Those are the two types of sighing that I hear. And so it says here, my strength fails because of iniquity. So let's take an unusual step here when it comes to dealing with persecution. And that is, let's do a little bit of spiritual analysis. Let's see if there is any unclean thing in us, if there is any iniquity in us. That word iniquity in the Old Testament, it means perverseness or crookedness or moral distortion. Okay, let me read that to you again. It means perverseness, crookedness, or moral distortion. We live in a day and time where all of that is going on, where that which is good is called bad, that which is bad is called good, that which is straight is called crooked. That which is crooked is called straight. And there is all sorts of morality that is being distorted in this day and time. That's iniquity. But it is not just the act of iniquity. It is the guilt of iniquity. I don't know if you've ever encountered something and you experienced immediate remorse for it, but there is guilt. Listen, God not only forgives us of our sin, but he does away with the guilt of our sin. And he does away with the shame. He does away with the punishment. You see, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sins is going to perish. There's a price tag to pay. Sin has a price tag. Somebody's got to pay for that. If you have ever stolen something from someplace, there was a price tag that came with that that somebody else had to pay. Whether it was a shareholder, whether it was an employee with their job, somebody paid the price because of that sin. And for us, Jesus came and he took away the punishment as well as the act, the guilt, and the punishment of. It has to do more with the character of an action rather than the action itself. And like I mentioned in an earlier broadcast, in the New Testament, the word for iniquity means lawlessness or unrighteousness. Now, when you think about those things, I want to read this to you again. My strength fails because of my perversity. My strength fails because of my crookedness. My strength fails because of moral distortion in my life. My strength fails because I'm overcome with guilt. My strength fails because of the punishment of my iniquity. As I was doing some research on this, they were talking about Esau. Esau wasn't repenting, but Cain. Cain was not complaining to God about the sin that he had committed was more than he could bear. He was saying that God's sentence upon his action, the punishment for his sin, was greater than he could bear. And God showed mercy even in that. What I want you to see is that sometimes, even though the act already took place, the enemy will try and use guilt in your life. You see, I may not be able to remember all of the truths that I've told, but the enemy is pretty good reminding me about all of the things that I said when I was a kid that weren't true. You see, God is a God who forgives and washes it away, never to be remembered anymore, but the devil is not so inclined. And so we need God not only to change our heart to where we don't do the things that we used to do, but we also need to cry out to him and say, God, would you take away the guilt of that? Because if we are not careful, the enemy will use that guilt and that shame. We see it a lot of in our society with people who've been victims of sexual crimes and sexual sins and things like that, where the guilt of that, the trauma and the guilt of it, it causes their strength to diminish. It causes their understanding of who they are to be forever altered. We need God to rule and reign over that. So the step I would tell you today is that we serve a merciful God. And if you've blown it, God wants to forgive it. If we will confess it, God will forgive it. But he also wants to empower us to where we don't continue in that lifestyle. We don't continue with that guilt and with that shame. We allow God to bring us to a place of wholeness. He says, my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. So that's what your persecutors are doing. That's what your enemies are doing. None of that is good. Being isolated, being afflicted, being broken physically, being shunned by your friends, all of those, none of that is good. For to be forgotten and not even to be remembered is a horrible thing. And so David writes and he says, this is what persecution is like. It is like being forgotten, and the ultimate goal is for them to see me dead. I love the fact that when John was sent to the Isle of Patmos, they sent him there with one responsibility. He said, John, your responsibility is to die alone on that Isle of Patmos. That was what man's goal for him was. Instead, God invaded that island with the Spirit of God, and John received a marvelous outpouring. You see, sometimes when you are cut off from man, you find yourself with an audience with the King. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what happened was, for John, it became a transformative moment. For the church, it became a transformative moment. Let's do that for us. David writes and he says, but I have a different approach. He says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. David said, my solution is to say, God, you've got this. I trust you. You are not just God. You are my God. And he says, make your face shine upon your servant. Now, I want to talk to you maybe for the rest of the program here, because God is looking for there to be visible evidence that we're his children. My mother, one day she went with my dad and I. We were golfing in Oklahoma, and it was cart path only that day, and my dad and I both were on the wrong side of the fairway for the cart path, and so we had to walk, and she said, oh my, you two walk just alike. My son took a picture one day of me in a local retail establishment, and he sent it to his sisters, and it was a backside picture of me, and he said, is this Dad or is this Poppy? That's what they call my dad, Poppy. And come to find out, we have some things in common. Another time we were golfing, I said, at the end of the round, I said, could you hand me my watch over there? And he said, well, I can hand you this watch, but it's not your watch. I said, that is my watch. That's exactly the watch that I wear. And he said, well, I think if you look at the time of this on this watch, you will find that it's set to Oklahoma time, not Florida time. And sure enough, we were 1,200 miles apart, and we bought the exact same watch. How freaky is that? My son, there was a picture of him here not too long ago, and his son was walking behind him step for step. His hand was in the same position. Both hands were in the same position. They were stepping. He was following his dad. There was, and it caught his mother's attention to where she took a picture and said, look, is there a link between these two or what? My times are in your hand. Make your face shine upon your servant. You say, where are you going with all of this? I believe that not only does God want to shine his face down upon us, which is the way that we traditionally interpret this passage of scripture. I believe that he does want you to know he's got his eye on you. He's got his ear tuned to your voice. He's got his mouth ready to speak. He's got his hand ready to act. God is on scene. He is large and in charge, and he's going to take care of this. We understand that. God, make your face to shine upon your servant. I want you to know he's looking upon you. But I believe that there is also another truth in play here. And that is, whenever a refiner would be refining metal, he would continue to heat up and skim off the impurities until he could see his reflection in what was being refined. If you ever go to a car show, you will find that people will continue to polish and wax that vehicle if it's on display until, when they look at that vehicle, they can see that that vehicle is reflecting the person's face. And when God is working in our situation where adversity is going on, I believe that what God is doing is he is ridding us of things in our life, of things in our heart, of things in our past, in our present, in our future, that are, he's ridding us of ungodly desires, and he is causing his face to shine upon us so that when other people look at that situation, they see the face of God. Not that it looks like me, but that it looks like him. Have you ever given any consideration to what God's reflection looks like in your life? You see, we get a big kick out of going to the carnivals and things like that and going to the funhouse mirrors, and some of them distort you to where it makes you look short and fat, and for my case, that's not a distortion. That can be an actual reflection. And then we like the ones that make us look tall and skinny. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that it is a mirror, that when we look into it, it gives us an accurate reflection of who we are. Adversity, persecution tends to do that. It tends to reveal things that we probably were unaware of going on in our life. And the last step that I want to share with you today is that when we're going through that situation and God has got this and he's got the timing, he's got the deliverance lined up, we also realize that what he wants is for when we come out of this situation, that when people look at us, they see the reflection of God having been at work in our life. I pray that's your reality. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.